Mac, one of the questions that comes from a lot of folks is they want to know, how do we decide the series, the books of the Bible and the series that we're going to teach as a church?
I go far away to a mountain and I pray. It's breaking up.
Yeah, it was breaking
up. Just because I was doing that?
I think so.
Sorry. I go far away to a mountain and I pray and God tells me. honestly, some of it is as simple as we were in the New Testament, so now we're going to pick something in the Old Testament. We were in the Old Testament, now we're going to pick something in the New Testament. And that is real rudimentary. On top of that, we are looking at what we've been teaching and what would be different than what we've been teaching. And so, and I'm saying all that because it really is true. I mean, but then the ultimate grid is we're looking at, and I said this somewhere recently, but that we look at what is wrong in the culture and how is our church following the culture, and what does the scripture say about that? And then what book of the Bible would help us with that the most, you know? And there are some, you know, you think about the book of Hebrews, how difficult that is to study and then to try to teach, especially in a modern culture. But when you think about how self-reliant we become, you're like, well, this book would speak to that, that we got to have a mediator. We got to have an intercessor. We're not good on our own. That's what we're doing. We're looking at what's broken, what seems to be the most profoundly broken thing about our church right now and folks right now, and then would the scriptures speak to that? And then we want to say, we don't want to back away. We want to say, well, if God's been speaking and we hadn't been listening, well, this is our shot. Let's try to teach it and let's do it. Let's listen.
So recently we did the book of Ecclesiastes. So what was the problem that came up and the problem in the culture that our church was following? How did you get to that as a team?
I think Ecclesiastes comes off the heels of COVID. And we saw during COVID on a bunch of levels in a bunch of ways that we are people who have very much, as people who say they believe in Jesus and say that we belong to another kingdom, is that we have in so many ways over-identified with this earthly kingdom. Mm-hmm. And it might be my safety, my security, my significance, my political party, my Americanism, this country, traditional values, my religion. People have just over-identified with what it means to be a part of this kingdom. And Ecclesiastes is an atomic bomb that destroys my identification with this world. He just takes you to the end of the line every single issue that might be important to you. He drags you to the front of the line and goes, look, this is the line you're standing in. This is where it's going to end. This is how all this ends for you if you stay in this line. And so you need to get out of that line and get involved with God's kingdom in something that's bigger, more transcendent, that's eternal. And that's a perfect example of how we kind of work through that.
Why do we use the New Living Translation?
We were using the NASB 95, obviously before the latest one came out, 2020. And it just felt, and I love that translation. It's what I cut my teeth on, the way it represents when I studied Greek and Hebrew in seminary. I know how the words line up. It just makes sense to me. It's so good. But it is a little formal in places, and it does use words that are not common in current English, American English. And I felt like I was standing on stage explaining the English. Some of the phrasings, the way commas were used, the way sentences were structured, or words that are not common. I felt like I was explaining the English. And so the New Living Bible was a paraphrase that was been in existence for a long time. And in like 95 or somewhere around there, they upgraded to a translation. So hence the New Living Translation. So there's a difference between a paraphrase and translation. And so I checked on it, good scholarship. Every translation has strengths, every translation has weaknesses, but I felt like a 10-year-old could read the NLT and be like, yeah, I get it. Mm-hmm. A 15-year-old could read it and be like, oh, yeah, I pretty much understand it. A 25-year-old who's never been in church could read that and be like, yeah, I mean, I don't believe it, but I understand it, you know? And I just felt like I could stand on stage and we could read the English together, and if there was something more technical, like a phrase, be made right with God, I could say now your older translations use the word reconcile, and I could put reconcile on the screen. Have your sins paid for. Now, the older translations, the NLT says, have your sins paid for. The older translations, some of those will say redemption. You were redeemed. I could write that on the screen. Mm-hmm. I could talk about that's what this means. If you ever see the word redeemed, we could do both. Mm-hmm. I felt like when I was working with the more wooden translation, I couldn't do both. I was always having to explain the other way. And it was easier to explain more technical than it was to just take a step back. That happened at the time. I went and met with a church in Florida, and we were putting all our verses on the screen. And this guy didn't know me. He was executive pastor at that church. He goes, hey, I hear you put all your verses on the screen. I was like, I don't know how you would have heard that, but yeah. And he goes, I want to encourage you not to do that. I want to encourage you to make people bring Bibles and look at their Bibles and learn how to look stuff up. And you can put verses on the screen some, but I just want to encourage you to think about that. And I was like, You think by telling people to bring Bibles to church, they're going to actually do that. And then after church, they're going to read them. And he goes, I don't know. He goes, but I know if you keep them on the screen, they're not.
Good point.
And I was like, I rode back on the plane thinking, I could not get it out of my head. So I came back and I said, all right, we need about $6,000 to buy Bibles. We put Bibles in the pews. I stood up and told people to, if you need a Bible, take a Bible. It was NLT. Take it home. I go in my kids' bedrooms. There'd be five or six Bibles. My kids are the biggest thieves in the world. They were stealing. I was like, take the Bible back to church. I just forgot. And so it was great.
Yeah.
People were actually bringing Bibles. They were picking them up. They were opening them. They were getting a feel for it. And I'd be like, hey, look in the concordance. You don't know where Zechariah, you don't know where Isaiah is. That's fine. You know, just look it up. And that was part of that whole time where we went to an easier translation, but we also put more pressure on people to engage it.
Right.
And now, you know, when then the shift happened with iPads and phones, that's no problem for us. It's not going to be either or. It's going to be both and that's even easier. It's even easier to find the book. You have to look in the concordance.
Yeah. So, yeah. It's been really refreshing to see people, hear people from other traditions that come and they're like, I understand.
Yeah.
I like this. This is great. Where'd you get this? Is this okay? They'll say, is this okay?
Right. That's right.
Is this legal? Can I read this?
That's right.
So, and the rumor is that Traveler's Rest has the best Bibles.
They have amazing Bibles. I have five or six in my house from Traveler's Rest. So. Matt, you work now with a lot of our younger teachers. What are you trying to help them develop as you kind of reflect on, you know, 30 years teaching the Bible?
You know, it's a lot of fun. It's a lot of work. When you're working with a young teacher, you know, the first thing for them is, do they want to do this? And a lot of times they think they do. And then when they get into it, they realize that they don't, which is fine, you know? So helping someone figure out, is this what I really want to give my time to? Because it takes more time than you think. And it's not just intellectual, it's super emotional. It's a super emotional experience. And that's complicated for all of us. I mean, if you're emotionally available as a person, then how do you rein that in and not become self-indulgent and always talking about what you feel in front of people? Mm-hmm. If you're more stoic, like I am or was and still am, then it's hard to how do you access those feelings? You have access to them and to share them with other people, how much, how far. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, you're helping a guy discern, is this what he want to be a part of, or young lady, is this what she really wants to do? And then here's all the work that it takes. Here's how much time you have to spend alone. You have to spend a significant amount of your life alone. Alone reading, alone studying, alone thinking. And half the job is learning how to understand the Bible. And then the other half of the job is learning how to present it to other people so that they mm-hmm. want to hear it. And so most folks who get in this game really want to study, but they don't really enjoy the process of making it accessible to other people. And so finding that odd young man or young woman who wants to study, who wants to be alone to think and reflect, who wants to dig down and find the principles and the illustrations and the applications that they can share with other people that cause the scriptures to come alive to them, that is not real common. So then once you find that person and you're having to give, they have to have a certain number of reps. So you got to get them on stage. You got to get them into a Bible study. You got to get them teaching student ministry. That's an easy place to go. And then you're having to give real-time feedback. And, you know, we're on the student retreats. And when it's over, we're gathering up. And we're like, okay, here's – that was super confusing. I mean, it was all good. And then you got to this thing. And I think your illustration kind of contradicted your point. And they're like, oh, my gosh, I can't believe we did that. And I was like, yeah, so it's okay. It's okay. It's all right. Because we're all so fragile, you know. I want to hear good feedback. I think I want to hear negative feedback, but I really don't because it makes me feel so exposed and so vulnerable. So it is this weird exercise in intellectual growth, emotional growth. Peggy Noonan, who wrote speeches for Ronald Reagan, would say the art of public speaking is becoming more self-aware and less self-conscious all at the same time. And that is true. This is who I am. This is what I think about this passage. This is what I think God's saying. This is how it makes me feel. I wonder if this is how it makes you feel that way. And at the same time, not being super self-conscious about the fact these people are now looking into my life going, he's really weird. Like he likes to deer hunt or he likes to pump gas this way. Because whenever you're giving illustrations, you're revealing who you are and what your life is. So you're being very vulnerable. So it is a complicated little process. But God's raising up new people to communicate all the time. And it's a joy to watch them learn and watch them get better. And there is this spiritual component where God just does something. And there's this human contribution that we make where you have to work really hard to get to what the point is and to make it available to people. So that's cool.
Why is plurality of teaching important for us as a church?
In the beginning, it was important because we believed it was important to not just hear the scripture sifted through one personality, that this personality was really helpful, say mine, this other personality, that's going to be helpful, to hear it through a person who has these kinds of gifts, that's going to be helpful, and it's going to reach different people, and even not reaching different people, it's going to hit different sides of the same person and awaken something differently, you know, like my kids, if you ask my kids, most of them have been through internship, but they've at least been a part of different classes. You ask my kids, almost to a person, who's your favorite teacher at Grace Church? They'll say, Scott Mazingo. This just happened a couple weeks ago. And Micah, my son, he was just like, I mean, he's like talking about something, and it's like exactly what I'm thinking. Mm. You know, like, I mean, a lot of my teaching is I'm dragging you into what I'm thinking. And it's a different kind of intuition, you know, that what different teachers have. And this person's more shepherding, this person's more directional, this person is more pastoral. I mean, there's just all kinds of nuances to it. And it's just important to have God's word sifted through different personalities so that people can grow. Well, that was good. I mean, I still think that's a very valid reason. But now we know, because we, as America has evolved, there's always been celebrity culture. But now everything's about celebrity culture. So now to have a church be healthy, because it's not just latched onto one iconic person or personality, that turns out to be just as important as the original reason. And I thought about that a little bit, and our elders, we thought about that a little bit, but now, as it turns out, it's a big deal. It's a big deal to have other people be able to speak, and our people be able to humble themselves and say, this may not be my first choice of teacher, but I'm here to learn. I'm here to receive from God, not receive from this person. And I think that's important. And I was speaking at Grace City this past weekend, doing a little parenting thing down there for Will Plunk and Grace City Church on Saturday. And I taught for like three sessions, and it was long, long, long. The attitude of those folks who I don't know, like I knew a couple of them, but 60 people in the room, and there you could tell they had been taught, but they were teachable. And they were ready to receive from old guy that's very generational. They're ready to receive. And I think that having multiple teachers helps with that. It teaches us to be able to receive what God has from whoever's communicating. And then the church doesn't rise and fall on me when I get hit by the ice cream truck. then we can keep going. Our body can keep going, you know.
All right, last question for you today, Matt. What's your favorite book of the Bible and why?
You know, Genesis, I'd give you two. Genesis, B because everything is in there. It's just, everything is in there. The beginning's in there, in a way. The end is in there. The gospel's in there. So many real people dealing with the same things. I mean, it is the most comprehensive, it's amazing study. It has all this theological and relational stuff going on that is absolutely intriguing. And then Ruth. There's just nothing like it, literally. I mean, it is the language, how the language is used, what it says about God, what it says about her loss, Naomi's loss, Ruth's commitment, Boaz's ability. I mean, the pictures it does for us, that it gives us on the gospel, and how, and it's not just this heavenly thing. I mean, it's so earthy. When Ruth gets back that first morning and her mother-in-law's not a very happy person to be around, and Ruth gets up the first day and goes to work. It's just, I mean, that is fascinating to me. And then God is watching, and God makes sure that Boaz sees her. And she goes from full to lost to full, Naomi does, and Ruth's in the middle of that. I mean, it might be, if there's a perfect piece of literature out there, it's got to be in the top two or three.
Wow.
It is the most cohesive, well-written thing that I've ever read, and I never get tired of reading it. Read it forwards, read it backwards. Read chapter 4, then read chapter 3, then chapter 2, chapter 1. It's a very interesting experience.
Wow.
I mean, it probably is the best piece of literature ever written. It's just one man's opinion.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Thanks, Matt. That was great.
Yeah.